Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. Thanks so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. And I got news for you today. God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you. And so we actually had been in a series from our church's book, The Longest Game, Winning in Life. And we actually, in one of the chapters, we talk about the power of the believer, and that is the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to stop and just take some time to answer your questions surrounding the Holy Spirit. And so Let me start our time this way. So Pastor Mark Clark, he wrote a book called The Problem of Life, a great read. I recommend it. But in it, he shares the story as a young pastor. He was on staff at a small rural church in up in Canada, I think Western Canada. And so he was there. And so he was just kind of on staff. And he was kind of the guy who had to go do the hospital visits and stuff. And a couple days prior to this moment is he visited an older gentleman by the name of David, who had become on bad health. He had been a member of the church for decades, but his health was declining, and so he was in the hospital. Mark Clark did the hospital visit, and then several days later, he decided, I'm going to go back and I'll visit David again. And so he actually goes to the hospital, and as he's walking into David's room, he sees a body that's rolled over on its side, but it seems lifeless. And so as he was walking in, and a nurse startled him. Sir, what are you doing in here? And he says, "Well, I'm here on a hospital visit. I'm a pastor." And she just shook her head and looked down, and she says, "I'm sorry, sir. This man passed away this morning." And so he was just, you know, devastated. And so he went back and he let the church secretary know, hey, David passed away this morning. And so he goes back into his office. And then a little time afterwards, that the church secretary buzzes Pastor Mark Clark and says, hey, Sarah, David's wife, is here in the lobby. She has a Subway sub, and she said she's on her way to visit her husband, David. And so he's like, oh my gosh. So Sarah comes into his office, and he's like, how am I going to tell this poor lady? And he just blurts it out. Sarah, I don't know how to say this, but David's dead. And she heard those words, and he's like, yeah, I went to visit him this morning. And then she proceeded to pass out in his arms. And so you can imagine she comes to, and then she's getting her wits about herself, and she's just kind of cataloging and going over all the sorrow and these kind of life moments with her now deceased husband. And then what happens, the secretary buzzes Mark and says, hey, you need to come in here for a minute. And so Pastor Mark goes to the secretary, and she's like, hey, I followed up on David at the hospital. She said, you know, they moved him from the hospital to a rehab facility. He's actually there right now waiting for Sarah to bring him lunch. And so he's like, oh my gosh, how do I go tell this woman that her husband's not really dead? And so he goes in and he's like trying to figure out how to explain it. She's just finally like, I'm just a moron. You, Sarah, forgive me. David is very much still alive. I went and visited. It was another guy that was in his former hospital bed, and he passed away. And so she's got this mixture of emotions. So she's furious at him, but then she also got her husband back from the dead, right? And so sometime after this, Mark Clark again is sitting in his office, and one of the staff pastors came in, barges into his office, and he says, Pastor Mark, you have to go visit Sarah today. And he says, when I was driving in to church, the Lord gave me this incredible impression of Sarah. And there was this sense, this dire need that you need to go visit her. And in his mind, he's going, Hank, no, I'm not going to go visit her. Man, I almost wrecked this woman's life once. I'm the last person she wants to see. And he's kind of trying to push it off. He's like, hey, man, I'm really busy. Maybe if I get around to it. And the man was so stirred by this impression, by the Spirit of God, that he's like, no, you have to go see her today as soon as possible. And so finally he was like, man, I don't want to upset the Lord or whatever. So he winds up reluctantly going, and he knocks on Sarah's door. And after some time, she finally opens it. And Mark is kind of surprised because she's dressed in her pajamas, and it's 1 p.m. And so she's like, oh, you know, it's you. And so she reluctantly invites him in, and they sit and they kind of awkwardly chat, and he apologizes profusely more and more. And finally she goes and mixes a thing of tea for the two of them. And then they really start talking and, you know, laughing about certain things and talking about scripture until finally Sarah opens up. And she says, Pastor Mark, I bet you're wondering why I'm still in my pajamas. She said, I've been battling a deep, dark depression with David being in the hospital, and I feel all alone. And I actually got up this morning and I told the Lord, Lord, I need you to send somebody to encourage me. And if you don't send somebody, I'm going to take my own life. I'm done with you and I'm done with life. And so it was there. And then she inadvertently fell asleep in her chair. And then that's when you knocked on the door, Pastor Mark. And then I want to tell you this. You encouraged me today. And so you can imagine the two of them just started weeping. And here's the beautiful thing is that we get to see this, that Sarah, that through the Holy Spirit, like God had used a man to encourage Sarah. And as well, Mark, by being obedient to the voice of the Lord, what happened? He felt used by God once again, right? Everybody wins in this situation. And I just want to tell you this, I've had some of these things happen to me in my own life. Like I can recall one time, I felt this impression from the Lord I needed to immediately call this man in our congregation. He battled with addiction. And so, man, I just, you know, I'm like, all right, this might be weird, Lord. But I called this guy out of the blue. And the first words out of his mouth were, how did you know? It turns out that this gentleman was a meth addict, and he was going to use when his phone went off and my name came up on it. And it was just the thing he needed to keep him sober in that time. And you know what? Here's the amazing thing. It had nothing to do with me and everything to do with the Spirit of God. And so here's the big idea for today is this, is that with the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to do all God's called you to do. And so before we jump into our questions, let me give you one more story. Sorry, I like telling stories. I recently heard the story of a young man by the name of Luke, and he shared about his parents that lived in Nova Scotia, Canada. And it was the winter months, and they were actually on their, they were ice fishing. And so then as they were coming back to their cabin, they were on their four-wheeler driving across the frozen lake. And as the husband and wife were driving across the lake, they started to hear this deep crushing noise of the ice splitting underneath them, until, man, with no time to do anything, it just the lake opened up and the quad fell into the frozen lake. And so there they were just kind of like just the shock of the cold water, and they're trying to escape, this husband and wife, from the frigid water for some 10 minutes struggling. But every time they grabbed on a piece of ice, it would break off and break away, until finally they almost just gave in to death. And he held his wife and he gave her a kiss goodbye. And so keep that story and we'll revisit that later. But here's what I need you to see is, like, isn't it amazing when we talk about the Holy Spirit? It seems like, man, we get the Father, we get the Son, but the Holy Spirit, man, it can feel like we're just kind of grasping on things and can't hang on to anything. And so we're going to answer a few more questions about the Holy Spirit today. And so here's a question number one for our time today is this. There's actually two questions. It's asking the same question. How do you know if the Holy Spirit is leading you? Or someone else asked this, how do I differentiate what the Holy Spirit is prompting versus my own wants, or if I have gas? So I appreciate the levity in that. So let me begin to answer it this way. You have to believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, like that God wants to speak to you. And so there's a a man by the name of Jack Deere. He's a professor, a seminarian, a brilliant theologian, and he was actually practicing at Dallas Theological Seminary. And so he had this brilliant mind, you know, about the scriptures and the Bible, but he and everyone at Dallas Theological Seminary, they're cessationists. And here's what that believe. They believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit passed away, you know, with the apostles, and so there's no more miracles and healings that people do like the apostles did. Okay, and so that was his theological framework, that the Holy Spirit doesn't work for today. And he was a fan of a guy by the name of Dr. John White. And Dr. John White, I believe he was an author and a world-renowned psychologist, and so he wanted him to come and speak at Dallas Theological Seminary. But Dr. White had one condition. He says that you have to let me teach on supernatural healing, and then we have to be able to pray for people afterwards. Well, Jack Deary's like, oh my gosh, he so respected this man and wanted him there, but he's like, oh, I don't want this Holy Spirit voodoo stuff, you know, whatever. So he reluctantly allowed Dr. White to come. He did his talk and then did a teaching on supernatural healing and had people come up for healing. And Jack Deere saw God heal people through this man's hands. Like he couldn't unsee it. And so it was disorienting for Professor Jack Deere. And so he went on a deep dive about, man, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, healing, all these different things. And to his surprise, man, it was just everywhere he read in the scriptures. In fact, so now he had this newfound zeal, and he started teaching students at Dallas Theological Seminary about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And actually, the leadership, they hated that to the point where they asked him to resign, and he did. But maybe it was good for you and I, because he actually penned several books. One was Surprised by the Power of the Holy Spirit. And another one that I want to reference today is this, Surprised by the Voice of God. And in it, Professor Jack Deere, he explains, hey, ways that it can sharpen your ear to hear the Holy Spirit. Would you like me to share a couple of them? It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyways. But here's three ways that Professor Jack Deere says that we can sharpen our ear to hear from the Spirit of God. The first thing is be available. Be available. And so there's a Samuel, the prophet in your Old Testament. As a young boy, he heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him, and he was so unfamiliar with it, he actually thought it was Eli, the priest, that was calling for him. And so he went several times back and forth until finally Eli told the young man, it's probably the Lord. And he says, when you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, right? And sure enough, he does. And Samuel would go on to be one of the nation's greatest prophets of all time. I love what David, King David, he was adept at hearing the voice of God. But notice what he says in Psalm 32, verse 6. David says this, therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. In other words, David is saying, hey, man, like search for the Lord where and when he can be found. He says, like with the rush of mighty waves and winds, like when life is busy all around you, it's difficult to dial in to the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Jewish tradition says that David, he was hang his harp and his lyre up in the window. And then in the morning time, when the sun was coming up, the wind would blow in and it would make music on the harp and the lyre. It would waken David. And what would he do? He would open up the scriptures and begin to study, pray, and worship God, right? Be available. Be available. Number two is this, to be obedient. In other words, if you're not obeying the things that you already know that God is speaking to you, why would he continue to speak to you? Here, I'll speak to you more so you can ignore me even more and more and more, right? I think we can agree that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he walked the earth as a man, he knew his Father's voice. In fact, he says, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I see my Father saying. He was obedient, right? And therefore, an increased dialogue with his Heavenly Father. And then the third one is this, humility, to be humble. And so it says, you know, in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3, it says that Moses was the most humble man who ever lived. It's kind of ironic because he wrote the book of Numbers. I don't know if you could say that about yourself and still be humble, but he did, okay? And so, but it says this, like God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In other words, humility is attractive to the Spirit of God. And it says that Moses spoke to God face to face, like a man speaks with his friend, right? And so those are the three things: be available, obedient, and humble. It'll sharpen your ear to hear the Holy Spirit. And so, do you believe that God wants to speak to you through his Spirit? Jesus said this in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Take a look.
One more time.
Hey, is that awesome? Man, other people tried to call the sheep. Nothing. But when the shepherd called, what? The sheep were attentive and they came running. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And so, do you know, we have to get familiar with our shepherd's voice. And that's why I'm constantly pounding into people, man, the daily discipline to get in your word, get into prayer. It's where we're learning the voice of God. We're understanding his character, his nature, what he sounds like, right? And so, for example, I don't know if you've ever gone to the store and you give them 100 or 50 or something and they immediately got to snap that thing and then they get that crazy marker out and they look at you like you're a criminal or something like that. You ever done that before? Like it's offensive. When they give you my change back, I want to get the marker back and say, hey bro, can I have your marker? I want to see if what you gave me is legit. but here's what I need you to know is, do you know that bankers and treasury people that they don't study the counterfeit? But they become an expert in the authentic, that they know how it feels and how it looks and how it sounds, right? And so that's true of us, that we don't study the counterfeit, but we get to know Jesus Christ, the authentic, the true and chief shepherd. I'll share this story. So my wife Susan has the spiritual gift of skepticism, okay? She was Johnny Cochran before Johnny Cochran. Like, she's ultimately suspicious and always got to get to the bottom of stuff. And so I'm just kind of, just ignorant and take everything at face value. But so anyways, when my daughters were young, you know, the internet was kind of new and email and all this. And she calls me down to the computer and she's like, honey, look at this. And it was an email that my daughter Cassie sent to a boy. And there was all this stuff in there. Oh, I love you. And you're so handsome. We're like, what in the world is she doing all this stuff? And then she goes, Cassie didn't write that. And I'm like, well, how do you know? And she goes, because, she goes, look at it. All the spelling is correct. And Cassie would never use those words. And so she goes, it was Elizabeth, my youngest, who was posing as her older sister, right? Johnny Cochran, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. And so sure enough that she got off. And so why? But my daughter, my wife knew what my daughter, what she spoke like, what she sounded like. And so too, man, as we are around our chief shepherd, we become familiar with his voice and his sheep, they follow him. And so we follow the voice of the Lord. And so I want to bring some clarity, though, around hearing the voice of God and following him. You know, oftentimes it's not like your map app. By the way, have you ever had an argument with your map app? You're like, no way, I don't believe you, you know, or has your map app ever changed its mind before? Right? It's happened to me a few times. But anyways, it's not like the map app where it's kind of, it shows you God's whole course for your life and all that. It's not usually like that. However, it's much more like something called OnStar. Have you heard of this? Like my family and I, we bought a GMC or something, and it had like OnStar. And so what it is, it was this button you could mash, and if you got in trouble, then an operator would guide you and direct you where to go. And I remember we were lost in not a good part of town. I had my kids with me, and so I just click OnStar. Hey man, OnStar is going to take care of us. And so, hello, Mr. Bird. And I was like, hey, yes, thank you. My family and I seem to be lost. Could you give us directions? To which she sighed and replied, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Burt. You didn't pay for the premier package, so I don't know that I could give you directions right now. Well, I'm like, my family and I are lost in a dangerous section of town. And she goes, well, where do you think you should go? And I was like, well, I think I should go to the corner and bang a left. She says, you're very warm. You're very warm. And then I said, well, then I think I should bang a right at the light. All right. She's like, no, you're cold. You're cold. Okay. Another left, right? And she's you're warm, you're hot, you're cold. And listen, I want to tell you something. Following the Lord often can feel like that. You're hot, you're hot, you're hot. Nope, cold, you're right, you know, and there's all these simple course corrections throughout our life. It's like, if you remember Abraham, that God called Abraham and he says, hey, I'm sending to you a land that I'll tell you when you get there. See, it's like OnStar, man, following the voice of God, step by step by step, doing the next right thing you know to do. And so, So this is awesome that you can, I hope you believe that the Lord wants to speak to you on the daily, on the regular. But I need to echo the words of our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan. As he said this famously when he was talking about the Russians in the Cold War. He says this about them, I trust, but I verify. I trust, but I verify. And so I think that's great advice for you and I. Do you know that the Holy Spirit will say it a little different in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1? 1 John 4, 1 says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so I love this. That John, he says this, test the spirits, man. Or in other words, trust that you hear from God, but verify. And so in our souls and in our heart, you know, there's lots of voices in there, right? Is that just me or no? And so, I mean, there's our flesh. There's sometimes, man, the devil will whisper to you. Sometimes it's just me, or it can be the Holy Spirit. And so how do we decipher and discern? How do we test the spirits and to see who it is that's speaking? And so I love that the scripture gives us several kind of litmus tests to see if we're hearing from the voice of God. Here's the first one is this, the peace of God, the peace of God. Colossians 3 in verse 15, it says this, it says, let the peace of God rule your hearts. That word for rule, it's the word umpire. In other words, let the peace of God be the umpire for your heart. It gets to call the balls and strikes. So I've shared this story before, but years ago I'd just retired from the NHL, and I found out about a gold mining deal. If it sounds a little shady, it should. And so when I found out that you can refile your taxes 5 years back, and then you can invest in precious metals, and you get a portion portion of that given back to you. And so I stood to make millions of dollars. And so I was like, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, thank you, Lord, for this deal. And so I went through all these steps in order to refile. It wasn't illegal, but it also wasn't ethical. It was a loophole, you know? And so, but every time I would open my Bible or do anything, man, I talked about it last week, the hound of heaven, the Holy Spirit, whoa, 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 like he just wouldn't leave me alone. Don't do this deal, don't do this deal, don't do it. And I just had no peace about it until finally I was like, fine, I won't do it, you know? And then come to find out, months later, I would get a call from the FBI asking me if I knew anything about this gold mining deal. And so so how gracious and good is God? But the peace of God wouldn't allow me to move forward. And aren't you glad? Because I might have had a prison ministry from the inside. And so so there's the peace of God. Here's the second litmus test, is the Word of God or the Scriptures. And so here's what you need to know is the Bible, it becomes the standard, the measuring stick to see what's right and wrong. And so, so for example, I'm not the handy guy. I made this no secret. And so my wife asked me to hang some shelves. And so I hung the shelf and I thought I crushed it. And she just looked at those shelves and she's like, those shelves are crooked. And I'm like, woman, what are you talking about? Right. And we went and got what's called the level. I don't know if you've ever seen this. And you can put it up against something and it lets you know if it's straight, if it's level or not. And sure enough, the thing was crooked, okay? And the Bible, it becomes the level for our life. It determines what's right or wrong. It doesn't matter how you feel about something or whatever. What does the Word of God say? It's the level. And so I can't begin to tell you how many times I get, as a pastor, people will come to me, they're like, well, God told me. And then, okay, well, now I can't say anything to that. And so the Bible has to be the standard, okay? I've had people tell me, hey, God told me I could sleep with my girlfriend because we're married in our heart. When I'm like, well, hey, dum-dum, it's kind of weird that the Bible says the exact opposite of that thing. In fact, the Bible has a name for you in there. It's called a fornicator. And so you can't just throw the God told me. If it's against God's word, that wasn't God, okay? And so, and then here'll be the next like kind of litmus test is, do you know what? You should have godly brothers and sisters in your life, pastors, elders. Like you should be a part of a small group of people, a community of God-fearers and God-lovers that you can bounce stuff off of. And so I have, so many of you, man, you should bounce it off your spouse. Hey, this is what I feel like the Lord is speaking. And my wife and I, Susan and I, will often have a dialogue to see what God is speaking to us. And I like to say this, hey, we're trying to find our amen. What is God speaking? And as we both walk in agreement in that thing, man, we feel like we got our amen and we can move forward with the Lord. And so I pray you have godly counselors in your life. And so we trust that we hear the word of God, but we verify. Let me get into question number two here today is this. Question number two is this. What if you don't see the power of the Holy Spirit? Does it mean you don't have the Holy Spirit? And so I'll just ask this question to you is, did you repent of your sins and trust in the cross of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and confess him as Savior and Lord? If you did that, I promise you, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Like the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you fully and forever, okay? And so that's Romans 10:9. But as well, oftentimes, man, you might not be displaying the power of the Holy Spirit, but are you displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit? We read about that in Galatians 5. It's love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control, so on and so forth. And so are these fruits or these aspects of the Holy Spirit starting to manifest in your life? And remember, fruit takes time to grow. And so be patient with yourself, but you should be seeing fruit. And that's a sign of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But the question was asking about the power, if I did see the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think I can give you some clarity on this or some things that have helped me kind of in my walk with the Lord. And so this isn't as clean as I'm going to make it, but I found it helpful to me. And so let me talk to you about the gifts, all right? There's gifts from the Father, gifts from the Son, and gifts from the Holy Spirit. And so the gifts from the Father, it's motivational gifts. And we'll look at that in Romans chapter 12. And then you have the gifts from the Son, or the ministry gifts. That's in Ephesians chapter 4. And then we have gifts from the Spirit, the manifestation gifts. Those are the power gifts. And we'll look at that in 1 Corinthians 12. And so let's look at first the motivational gifts. These are gifts from the Heavenly Father. And let me read to you Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verses 5 through 8 says this: "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Here are the gifts: if prophecy in proportion to our faith, in service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." And so here we start to see that there's these gifts, these intrinsic gifts that God has just kind of hardwired into you and into me. They're gifts from the Father, the way He's made you, your quirks, your strengths, your weaknesses. And so He starts kind of breaking them down. It's not an extensive list, but He talks about, man, the gift of prophecy. And so here's what I know, that some of you, you're feelers. Like, you feel stuff and you feel people. And so my wife, Susan, is a feeler, right? It's kind of this inner wiring, this prophetic thing on the inside of her, where like she can feel things about my kids' hearts or their emotions, or it's like spidey sense or something like that. And as well, she's like, she's kind of protected me with her gift. She's like, hey, you don't need to pray for that girl, okay? And so that's her intuition or her spidey sense. And so many of you have that on the inside of you. It's a gift from your Heavenly Father. Some of you are servants. Like, you just serve, man, that if there's an opportunity, man, you're there. And when you serve, it just makes you feel full of life. So another one is teaching. Like, have you ever sat under teaching someone who didn't have the gift to teach, right? Didn't have the proclivity to take complex things and make them simple and understandable, right? For me, that was 12th grade chemistry, all right? And so you know who you are. And here's another one is the gift of exhortation or encouragement. Man, it's like some of you, you're just like a human golden retriever. Man, you're just like, oh, you're the greatest, you're the best, I love you, right? And listen, may your tribe increase. We need more of you. And some of you, man, you have the gift of generosity. And others, man, you have the gift of leadership. Man, you just come out of the room, you're like Patton, you're going to lead people, lead things, lead organizations. And so those are the motivational gifts. And let's look at number two, is the ministry gifts. These are gifts given by Jesus. Let me read to you in Ephesians chapter 4. Says this: "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." And so maybe some of you have heard of this as the fivefold ministry, or the hand of God. Now, I remember when I just newly become a pastor, and I was sitting under a guy by the name of Dave DeGarmel. Hey, Dave. But I remember he was doing a teaching on the fivefold ministry gifts, and he says it's like the hand of God, and you get the apostle who steers and organizes, and then you get the this finger, it's the prophet who points out things that are wrong, and then he says, and then you get the evangelist, and he does his middle finger to everybody, and he goes, he's there to offend you. And I was like, is that allowed? Could you do that in church? You know, and so anyways, the answer is no, but I never forgot that illustration. And so, but we do see, it says that Jesus, when he ascended, he gave gifts. Sometimes, like, people will use these as offices of an apostle, prophet, evangelist. I don't think that's what Jesus is speaking. He says that they're gifts given to the church to build up the body, right? And so the apostle, notice it's a small a, not a capital A, like the apostle Paul or the apostle Peter. You don't get to write scripture and things like that. But however, there is the gift of the apostle. Apostle means the sent one. And these are people that are just, they tend to pioneer stuff. They like to build things from nothing. They can tend to get bored by just doing the same old thing. They like to find and invent new ways to do old things, right? And that's the gift of the apostle. And I see the gift of the apostle in many of our people in our church. Let me give you another one. It says, so the prophet. So the prophet are these seers or these feelers. And Jesus, he gives the prophetic gifting. It's unbelievably powerful. If you've ever had a prophetic word spoken over your life, and many times they'll be able to, foretelling, they're understanding, hey, what's God's heart for the future? Or forthtelling, in other words, what's God doing in the present? And so it's a very powerful gift. And we actually have several people in our church that we train up in this skill and this gift of the prophetic. Another one is the evangelist. And so praise God for the evangelist. Evangelists, man, these people, their heart burns to see people come to know Christ. Man, they're just about the lost, the lost, the lost, the lost. And it's crazy, too. They have, like, because it's a gift from Jesus, what happens? It seems like, man, whenever they share with somebody, they get saved. Right? I do not have that gift, okay? I'll be laboring, teaching them the Bible, doing all this, and they don't get saved. But we have other people with the gift of evangelism. Man, the moment they speak anything, what, they get saved, all right? There's shepherd pastor, right? And I'm so proud of our church here at Every Nation New Jersey. Man, the gift of shepherd pastor is strong. Like the shepherd pastor, they love and care for people. And so you make my job easy as a pastor because, like, the people have already been pastored. I find out after the fact, and you've already sat with people, wept with people, sent flowers, sent food, sent funds, right? And so that's the shepherd pastor. There's the gift of teaching, which, by the way, that's my gift, all right? And so I just enjoy teaching the Bible and the scriptures, taking high-level things and putting them down on the low shelf. I'm a simple guy and got to keep it simple. There's a sixth gift that's not listed in here, and that's this. So there's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and then I've seen this one, the floater. Don't be a floater. Listen, you don't want to be the person that just sits and consumes, does nothing in the church. Listen, God has given you a gift. You have a gift, and the gift is for the body. And listen, if you don't know what your spiritual gifting is, then please come see me, email in, text, and I would like to help you find your spiritual gifting that you might use it for the body of Christ and the good of the world, right? And then here we'll get to the power gifts, and we're going to start to close with this one. It's the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, we read about them. It says this, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually, here's the money line, as he wills. The Spirit gives these gifts as he wills. That is the greatest news ever, is that the Spirit gives words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, miracles, healing. He gives as he wills. And here's what that means. It takes all the pressure off you and me. Like I'm not responsible for the power of God. I am responsible to minister to people, to lay hands, to pray, and then it's upon the Spirit. The Spirit does as he wills. It takes all the pressure off of you and I. And we trust that the Spirit, as we are faithful to move, is going to move in us and, yes, through us. And so I started our time with this and said that, man, that within the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to do all God's called you to do. You remember the couple that was drowning in the freezing waters of Nova Scotia? Do you remember the husband was going to kiss his wife goodbye and they were going to freeze to death in the frigid waters? As they kissed, he remembered something. He remembered he had a tool in his jacket pocket. It's called a Leatherman. Have you ever seen this? It's this universal tool. I didn't even realize it, but I have one, right? And so he pulled out his Leatherman and he took his blade out and he stabbed it in the ice and pulled himself up out of the water. Then he secured himself again with his Leatherman, reached back and he pulled his wife out of the freezing cold depths, and they were saved. Why? Because they had their Leatherman. this universal tool. And I don't know if you've ever seen anything. There's like 8 million gadgets. I don't even know what half of these do. And you know what? That is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You have everything you need to do all He's called you to do. You have, there's faith. There's miracles. There's healings. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Discerning of spirits. Right? Prophecy. Miracles. It's all there in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit gives as He wills. And so listen, every nation, Jesus loves you, and I think you're amazing too, and the Holy Spirit wants to work in you and through you. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank You so much, God, for this time in and around Your Word. Lord, I thank You for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we'd be a people that move by faith in the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray where ears have been deaf to hear the Spirit of God, Lord, I pray that You'd give them ears to hear. Lord, even today, Father, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.